This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This episode of Witching Hour is brought to you by Mukti Organics, results-driven and award-winning skincare products made with certified organic ingredients and powerful actives.
You can buy the revised and expanded second edition of Mukti's best-selling book, Truth in Beauty, now for $89 at muktiorganics.com and retailers Amazon, Booktopia and QBD Books. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work, work. I'm Lou.
And I'm Loz, kicking things off with the good news story. I mean, it is kind of good, but it's kind of not 100% good. But anyway.
This is like last week when you told me how much effort it took to raise a human, but then you mentioned how much ice cream that
meant.
I'm not saying that correctly, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, this is kind of similar. So if you're pregnant or hoping to have a baby after 35, like many of us are, you may be familiar with the old term geriatric pregnancy. Thankfully, that has now been phased out. It was actually phased out last year, but I had no idea. And it's now...
You've been walking around calling them geriatrics still.
Yeah, I have. Oh my God, another Jerry having a baby. It's now called AKA Lab. I mean, I missed the cutoff so by like a month.
Oh, you did literally by a month, by a few weeks.
Yeah. Actually not even, by a week. But the term is now advanced maternal age, AKA AMA. I'm an AMA pregnancy.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't love advanced maternal age. Like, sounds like advanced hair loss. Like, it's not
annoying.
Positive, you know.
Can we just get rid of the term altogether? But I'm glad to see the end of geriatric. That just doesn't make anyone feel good, does it?
Exactly. I feel like coming to maternal age would be more of a nicety.
Of course.
She's coming to maternal age. Something.
CTMA. That's what we're going to call her from now on. So today, I regularly travel for work. Why do people keep asking me who's looking after my child? Eva Mendez is glad she had kids later in life. She's a CTMA, perhaps. And a really ridiculous poll today. Lozzie, I recently hosted a talk for St. Magella and we played Would You Rather Motherhood Edition, and I'm bringing it to you. We brought it to the pollers. Some people were genuinely confused as to how they should answer the question because both options were so stressfully hard. So I can't wait to see what you have to say. Let's get into it.
I regularly travel for work. Why do people keep asking who's looking after my child? These questions are no doubt benign in their intention, but my husband also travels for work and I'm willing to bet no one ever asks him who has our daughter. When you get to travel for work, as I do, I mean, not obviously I used to travel for work, but no longer.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
Chained to a home.
Yeah, exactly. There are plenty of perks. Pillow menus, buffet breakfasts, having someone else to make your bed. Elite. Nothing nicer. But behind the veneer of Instagram posts are the less shiny bits. Sleepless nights in a strange bed, horrific air conditioning. Could not agree with that more. Hotels are either too hot or too cold and it drives you nuts.
Hate being cold in a hotel room and you don't know how to deal with it. This is such a first world problem. Lol, we're talking about being not climatized properly in a hotel room.
It is.
But it's a terrible feeling.
Exactly.
I already hate myself.
And then, of course, missing your kids and the guilt that comes with that is at the top of the list. There are plenty of times when the author of this article has been made to feel as if her choice to travel for work, even when it's vital to perform her role, somehow makes her a bad mother. Have you ever felt like this, Lou?
Do you know what? I think because I didn't return to a traditional role, on the odd times that I did stay in the city for work, it probably felt more like an escape rather than I'm a bad mum. However, the lead up to that first night leaving Ray was definitely difficult because I just nearly gave up and thought this is more trouble than it's worth. So yeah, it must. I just have forgotten about that, obviously, because I'm not in the throes of that right now. What about you?
I mean, I've had this question a few times, not so much related to travel, but on occasions where, for example, I've gone to a shopping center and ducked out of the house or something and randomly bumped into someone. They're like, oh, who's got the kids?
Santa, they're an extension mate. Of you.
Oh, no, they're just in the house. I just chained them in the backyard. Like, it's the most bizarre question. I always find it so unusual.
So frustrating.
The author of this article goes on to say that on the first morning of a work trip, the first question she was asked by an industry acquaintance after exchanging greetings was, who is looking after your daughter? She wasn't sure what was more surprising, that she was being asked this question in 2024 or that it was put to her by a woman who she was almost certain has children of her own. She goes on to say, my husband also travels for work and far more frequently than I do. I'm willing to bet that no one ever asks him who has our daughter. It's assumed the answer is me, by the way, or how I cope with him being away. Yet almost every time I leave the house for more than a few hours, I get asked these questions by friends, colleagues, and strangers. These questions have no ill intention to them, but they implicitly assume that women and women alone do the important parenting while the bumbling male father or father figure burns toast and doesn't know how to tie a ponytail. Thoughts on this?
Conjures such like a specific image of thinking about someone like my dad being left with us kids on the rarity that he was, and that mum would pre-make the dinner, and that I just wouldn't have the same expectations about how the house would look or how I would be parented, which is so wild. But it absolutely conjures that image in my head of a bumbling man who's just making a bit more mess. It's all a bit more chaotic and they've been left with the children, as opposed to the mum, which we act as though that's the natural state of motherhood, to be left with the children.
So the University of Melbourne Professor of Sociology, Leah Rupner, agrees there's this misconception that dads are bumbling caregivers and that no one can do it as well as the mum. When I read that line, I know that we've had a conversation about this before because I'm a bit of a control freak, or like a lot.
Bit of a gatekeeper. Let's call you what you are. You're a maternal gatekeeper.
Yes, which is exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. So this is where the whole maternal gatekeeping combo comes into play. The whole notion that no one can do it better than me, which is such a disservice to men, because to what you said before, when you conjure that image up of your dad, I have that image of my husband now.
Yeah. It's so different for you and I because Hayden's job is so less demanding and you are in that more classic thing of him going off to a city job and working city hours and having that city commute home. We live in a quiet coastal town where Hayden's often working from home, or he works on site and he's home by 4 at the absolute latest. So that means he does daycare pickup every day. Sometimes he does the drop off if his schedule allows. And so I can sympathize with how that happens, because as we know, whoever spends more time with the baby, as they say, gets the PhD in the baby. You've had a situation so different from mine where you've spent a lot more time at home with your kids. So I can understand that it's really hard to then trust that they're going to be cared for in the same way, because the standard or the gold standard that has been produced is your standard because you're the one that's been with them.
Yeah, but as I read further into this, she, Leah, mentioned this really good point. So she said, if we cast them in this light as men not being capable of primary caregiving, which is exactly what women globally are saying, like, come on, dads, come to the table. We want you to, we want equality, all of this kind of discussion. Then men or the non-primary caregiver gets away with not doing it and then they miss out, which causes 100%. All these ramifications of like, you're setting the bar so low, like you're up here and they're down there, that even if they do the bare minimum, you're accepting that as well, which is not good either.
And it's interesting because maternal gatekeeping at its worst can often make a secondary caregiver feel like shit.
Yes.
Or it can make them in retaliation really fall for that weaponized incompetence thing where they're, oh, well, I can't do it as well as you, so I won't thing. So it's sort of a chicken and egg situation that just feeds off each other. It's interesting even hearing you say it like that, because if we talk about a household being less even, how can we really expect it to be more even if we're having a go at the secondary caregiver at every turn they take and not letting them make their own mistakes and trying to control that narrative or control how to parent?
The other thing is, it's not necessarily travel. So I completely get where this person's coming from, because this is everyday life. So I saw this Instagram post off the back of this article, and the title of it was, Questions I was asked after having a baby that my husband wasn't. Number one, is your husband good with the baby? Could you imagine if someone said that about a mum? It would be so weird. Like, what? I birthed her. Of course I am. What? Like, no one would even ask. It's so odd.
Yeah. And to be fair, the mum's probably the one more likely to be having issues because they're the one that a depleted gave birth, might have birth trauma, might have breastfeeding issues.
Oh, absolutely.
We're probably the ones, not that you should ask anyone that question, but we're the ones you should probably be like, how is it actually going for you with the baby? Not, oh, is the dad a good daddy?
I know. The next one, have you left the baby alone with your husband yet? Like, imagine if someone said to a mum, oh, have you been alone with the baby yet? Like,
yeah.
Has your wife been alone with the baby yet?
Yeah.
The husband would look at that person or the secretary and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense. Next question.
It's not even, it would not even be something that probably sprung to mind. Nah. Have you started to lose any of the baby weight yet?
Oh, they just entered dad bod era. So they're doing the exact opposite.
And has your husband been helping? So imagine if someone flipped that and he said, has your wife been helping? Like, what? Has the birth person been helping?
I find it amazing how often even true feminists still use the word help because it is so ingrained in us. So I would love, maybe that's going to be my microfeminism act. I don't know if you saw that trend going around about microfeminism moments that people were having on TikTok and Instagram, but it would be like someone saying, the doctor said this, and the person going, oh, she said that, did she? As opposed to assuming it was a male, because in the past so many people have assumed that these, I guess, high-level jobs are held by men only. So that's like an act of microfeminism, is assuming it's a woman instead of a man. So maybe my microactive feminism from now on is going to be asking a dad in a dad-mum relationship if the mum has been helping.
You should, because it's so ridiculous. The biggest learning from all of this is often, as the article states, it is women asking the question. It's not men, because I'll tell you one thing. The last thing that men are thinking about in most instances is if the mum is doing a good job, if the mum is helping.
Doesn't even cross their mind.
It doesn't even cross their mind because it's happening. Like, it's actively happening. And men just don't have that, like, they don't have that emotional link from the men that I said. Some do, maybe. Some maybe really, like, want to talk about the whole birth experience. But most, you know, they sit there for hours. They utter a couple of words to each other. Like, they're just, the depth of their combo isn't.
They're not as meaty as us.
Generalization, but
this brings me back to a story that if people have been listening for a while, they would have heard, but otherwise they might not have, which is that I cannot believe when I was about 25, I said to my manager at the time, her son was sick and both.
I remember this.
Yeah. The wife and the husband worked together in the same team with me. And I said sympathetically, oh, and they really need their mum when they're sick. And I still feel so sick that I said this because if someone said this to me, I'd be so angry. What I meant was I feel bad for you if he was clinging to you as you were trying to leave for work that day. But what came across and what I would hear now as a mum is, oh, the mum should be with the baby when they're sick or the kid when they're sick. And what she said to me was, well, they're with their dad, so they'll be fine. And it was a real moment of learning of my intent was not ill, but what I said was disgusting and like a bit patriarchal and misogynistic without even realizing. So it was a big learning moment to think twice before you say shit like that and assume the gender norms have been going forever.
Yep. And the same thing goes if you're working, if you're away for work, if you're going down the street without your kids, if you're somewhere childless, instead of saying, oh, who's minding the kids? Why don't you say, go you, good on you for getting out.
Yeah.
Make
that must
positive.
Have taken some effort.
Exactly.
Because Amen. My God, it does.
Eva Mendez is glad she had kids later in life. Found this super, super refreshing. It's not often I hear celebrities say things that I can relate to, probably because we're on different levels.
Oh, darling, you're pretty close. You're pretty close.
Just a tad.
Beyonce has 24 hours in her day and so do I.
That I can't. I actually can't. But I saw a clip of her recently and I'm like, oh, what a legend. Eva says, I'm going to call her Eva like we're besties, like we're pals and buds.
You are.
She says that she didn't have the confidence to raise her kids in her 20s. She's now 50 and thinks it's a great thing that she had kids later in life. In my 20s, I shouldn't have been around a child. I was foul-mouthed and smoking. I definitely could not have raised kids in any other era of my life but now, Eva said.
I'm the former but not the latter, just in case anyone's wondering. I really need to work on my foul mouth, but I do not put a ciggy in my mouth and I never have.
Oh, you, look at you.
Good girl.
You sweet girl.
I'm a good
clean girl.
Were you ever a smoker at all in any
facet? Of course. When I was
You liked to rip durries on a Saturday night, did you?
I didn't, but I definitely had like a Winnie Blue or whatever.
Yeah, a bit of a
gold was like the primo.
Yeah. Sorry, I do digress.
But not anymore. God, I actually do. You know, sometimes I think to myself, I have these tiny little wrinkles on my lips, and I wonder if it was from that stupid social. But I'm serious. Like, now that I've said it out loud, I'm going to get targeted with bloody collagen patches and all sorts of lip injections.
And you will buy them because you are.
I will buy them. Of course, I will. Yeah, I'm the most like gullible person on earth.
This will work, and I will buy it.
So she said, when I was 40, it was a big deal for people when I was pregnant, and it wasn't for me, which I loved. Yes, it wasn't for you, girlfriend. You go. And then I was 42 and I was pregnant again with my second one. And people were like, oh my God, you're going to be so tired. That's why people have kids in their 20s. I was like, that's the most asinine thing I've ever heard. What I loved about this whole thing was she actually said that she didn't feel pressured. She felt like it was clarity. Like she was at a stage in her life where she was clear that she wanted kids. She wanted to become a mom. She knew what expectations were like. Her friends had already had them. And it was probably because she was later in life, more cemented, more grounded.
Yeah.
More. Just
it's so true.
Own being.
My own version of this, obviously I can't quite relate to the wisdom that she would have at 50, but I look back at my 20s now and feel so grateful at how much more self-assured I am and how much more I know myself, even looking to my teens in the weird eating habits I'd have to try and stay skinny and all those silly things and worrying more about what people thought of me. I don't think I'll ever not worry what people think of me, but I don't think about it nearly as much. So I can't even imagine the wisdom that she would have had in her 40s starting her motherhood journey.
Yeah, because I think, I know we've spoken about this before, I think there's such a select time of societal okay to have a kid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's like 30 to 35.
Your 20s are too young. Yeah. Your 20s are too young, but your 40s are too old. And it's like, well, as a population.
It doesn't leave you with much.
Exactly. And people are having kids later in life and there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, there's a bunch of research around this in terms of like egg quality, miscarriage, likelihood of pregnancy, all of those kind of medical stats. But there was also some amazing benefits that I found when randomly Googling away, like what are the benefits of having kids in your 40s? And a Time article titled Why So Many People Are Waiting Long to Have Kids outlines a few. Waiting to have kids is a kind of empowerment for some women, ensuring that they can finish their education, find a fulfilling job, become financially stable, choose the right partner. That's a big one.
That's a big one.
Because
people feel the pressure to have kids when they're technically meant to. So sometimes it's musical chairs. I'm with you right now and I'm desperate for a baby and this is the age that I should have a baby. So let's go, even though I don't really love you.
Yeah, absolutely. And they also have time to mature as a person before settling down to have a family. Some studies suggest that kids born to older parents often grow up to be healthier. Hilarious. In the case in my household, better educated, probably because you've got more money and better behaved than peers with younger parents. I'm going to keep that at the back of my mind when I'm frustrated because maybe my children will be better behaved later in life. And that women who have children later in life also report bigger happiness boosts around and after their birth compared to younger mothers. Maybe it's because they're more educated or they've got more friends that have been through it or they're gathering more information. When you're young, I imagine it would be harder to find friends in a similar boat, particularly if you're like 19 or 20.
Especially if you're the first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It makes a real difference when your friends come before you, doesn't it?
Yeah. What are your thoughts around the 40s? Like we're seeing people have kids. I think Melissa George, the Home and Away Aussie Act, had a child at like 50.
I have no qualms with it. It's interesting that we haven't moved the needle. Remember when we talked about moving the needle?
I do.
It's really interesting to me that people are living longer, but we haven't sort of given that a wide stroke over every stage of life. Like we're not saying, okay, if someone can healthily fall pregnant in their 40s, retain a pregnancy, birth a baby, they're living longer. So why do we actually care? Because if it's more about how long you'll be around for your children, the likelihood is they're going to live longer because people are living longer. So why do we care so much if they can do it? I get the conversation of it might be harder for you. And sure, that might be true. The older you get, it is going to be harder to conceive. We cannot move around that. But the societal narrative needs to change to suit the times. Things are more expensive. It takes a long time to get set up in a life. If that's your vibe, if you really want to be set up for your kids, it takes fucking forever. And if you're going to live longer, why can't we then push out what we think of as the norm of carrying your first, second, third pregnancy?
And what's the go with even the year difference? Like when I think of 39 and then 42, so that's,
well, that's three years.
But yeah. Well, okay, 3 years, sorry. That's 3 years. My math is great over here. If I think of 39 and 42 in saying it, I'm like, geez, that's such a big gap for pregnancy. But then realistically, it's really not.
It's not that different. And if you're looking after yourself, who cares? I just don't know why we care so much. Just let the fucking mums live. And you never know the backstory. Might have been trying for 10 years. Quite literally. That happens to people. 8 years. We hear of these stories. Let the mums live.
Yeah, go Eva.
Go Eva. And go Gosling. That's who she's married to, yeah? Your friend Ryan?
Yeah. Yeah. Your the old mate. Bud.
Say hi to them at the dinner table tonight. Loz, I was briefed before this event at St. Magella to make it fun and light. It was a Mother's Day event and it was all around just keeping things light. Let's not have the hard-hitting conversations about what is challenging mums. Let's have some fun. And I thought, when you're a kid, you play Would You Rather, and it's an absolute laugh. So I wanted to bring it to the mums of this event. So I asked a whole heap of Would You Rather questions, and then I thought, why not repurpose that for our community online, readyornot.pod? So people were genuinely stressed by picking either or. It really plagued some people.
Because they were both shite.
Yeah, I got quite a few DMs like, fucking hell, why are you making me pick between these two? So I'm going to play with you. Lozzie, would you rather A, listen to Baby Shark on full volume every car trip, or B, your baby cry for the first 30 minutes of every car trip?
Baby Shark. I don't mind it. Like, I know it's annoying, but like, I even know all the hand things.
Baby, you know,
and then like it gets bigger.
Okay,
then
you're getting into it.
Yeah, I love it.
You're putting it on voluntarily. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't
so
mind
do you
it.
Think people agreed with you? What percentage are we throwing at it?
Yes. No one wants a screaming baby. It's awful.
I don't know what's wrong with me, but I picked the baby crying in the car for the first 30 minutes. I don't know if I actually mean it. It would be pretty terrible.
No, you would hate that. It's that would so be awful. Distracting.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, Posey was doing it and we were pulling over all the time. She's not doing it as much, thankfully, now. But yeah, okay, I'm going to agree. Baby Shark, 75% of the pollers agreed with you. 25% hate the song so much that they're listening to the baby cry. Would you rather A, never shower alone again, or B, never go to the toilet again in your life? Never go to the toilet alone again.
Never go, oh, wow. Never go alone. Oh, that's so hard. I'm going to say never shower again alone. Oh, no, nah. Sorry, I'm going to change my mind. Sorry, never go to the toilet alone.
I agree, because showers are a nice thing. It's like a massage for a mum.
Yeah, it is.
I can't get to the massage parlor, but I can put some obscenely hot water, probably hotter than it should be, on my body. True. So most agree with us. 71% would rather never go to the toilet alone again, 29% shower. Let's say you're the one at home with the kids. Would you rather your partner, A, ask if they can have a shower the minute they arrive home from work every single day, or B, call to tell you they're running 20 minutes late every single day?
Oh, do you know what? Oh, this is so hard because I feel like both are equally irritating. I would say 20 minutes late because there is nothing worse than when someone comes home and they're unhelpful. Like, that actually makes my rage boil. Like,
I'm yes, but I've got an
there.
Idea. I've got an idea. What? You put the kid in the shower with them.
Nah, that to me is just, there's too much mess and water and shit every, nah.
Oh, that's maternal gatekeeping. Loz, don't worry about it.
I can't, nah. Because I have to clean it up. I can't, nah. They got to be out. Late every day.
Okay, late every day.
What did you say?
Yeah, absolutely not. I'm saying put the toddler in the shower with them. Ray goes into the bath while Hayden showers. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
But A was 70%. So most people agree with me on this one, unfortunately, Lozzie. And 30% agree about the home being home late thing.
How can you not find that irritating? How?
But if you throw the baby in the bath next to them.
Okay, live example for you. Ryan is always on his phone with like a work call or something at the end of the day, right? So we recently had a conversation. So he would come into the house. He'd be like, hey, hey, you know, how's everyone going? Whatever, blah, blah, on the phone.
Oh, that's sad. You can't get them in the bath on the phone. Yeah,
if you're on the phone, stay outside.
Yeah.
I would prefer for you stay in the car. Not enter the house until after you've finished your conversation, because it is more frustrating to me to see you potter around the house on your phone than it is for me to make you wait outside and not have your help.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Leave the area.
Hey, you're using the word help. See, we still bloody do it.
Oh, I know. But like,
I agree with you on that one. If Hayden was on the phone, that is really annoying. It's rare in our household, given his line of work, but I can absolutely imagine that would make my blood fucking boil. Get out. Do something. Put the fucking bins out or something. I don't care what you do. Would you rather A, share your bed with all of your kids for a year, or B, have to do all of their homework for a year, obviously assuming homework age?
Oh, share the bed. I feel like I'm already doing that. It's fine. I don't mind. Yeah. But also, I mean, I obviously sleep nude. So if they're at homework age, that brings a whole bunch of other problems. Like, I need to start wearing PJs.
That will be really interesting. I think
I'll actually need to start that soon. Like, it's probably time.
It makes body positivity, baby. Oh, it makes you feel restricted. Okay.
I hate it.
So I actually would rather do homework and have the bed potentially free. Depends what sort of kids I have. Well, I just wake up injured making room for Posey every morning. So I'm like, do I want that forever? I'm not sure.
It's only a year.
Yeah, true. The year goes quickly. And like, I would miss the cuddles one day and miss being wanted in that way one day. Whereas I wouldn't miss homework. So I'm on the fence.
I hate homework. So this one, I hated doing it.
Yeah. I actually used to ask for homework in year two. Loser.
Oh, you go. That's my gal.
And then I got homework and never wanted to do it. So we did stumble. We did plague people a little bit here. A is 54%, which is the share your bed. So people agree with you. 46% was the homework situation.
There you go.
Would you rather A, take an 8-hour flight with a colicky baby, or B, dine at the fanciest restaurant in the world with a wildly busy toddler?
Flight. What did you say?
So this one, I reckon I was sort of guided by what everyone said, because I think I almost agree with you with the flight. It would be terrible, but you're not on a flight to enjoy yourself and you're sort of prepared for the situation perhaps. Whereas also, the restaurant, planes, you can't enjoy yourself.
Yeah. And planes are the public transport of the air.
Like, yeah.
Unless you're flying a private jet,
yeah,
you're in with everybody else.
Yeah, I agree. I think you've actually sold me. I think I'm back on your team here. 75% of people would rather be at the fanciest restaurant in the world with a toddler.
Stop.
That toddler's probably destroying the restaurant, by the way. They are drawing on the walls.
I would have to have one of those backpacks with a lead. I'd be like,
you get back here. You get back here, Bob. I'm trying to enjoy my escargot.
I would find that. I went to a cafe the other day with Dave and I was like, I had to call it. Yeah, it was awful. Go. It was so stressful. I'm like, we're out.
We're out of here. And then 25% of people agreed with you, which I am now in that camp. Would you rather A, speak in the voice that you use with your baby, or B, dance the way you dance for your baby every time you meet up with a friend?
Dance, for sure.
Agreed.
I'm proud of my moves.
You're a great dancer. Your hips do not lie, my darling.
They don't.
So A, 14%. B, resoundingly 86%. I can't believe people would rather use their baby voice in public.
Can you please do your baby voice? I love it. It's so funny.
I don't even know what my baby voice is.
I've heard it. It's good.
Oh, gross. Do it. Repeat it.
No, you just, as in you always mock yourself. Like, or you mock.
No, I can't think of what my baby voice is. Ray, my darling sweetheart angel. That's how I speak to him. Please, could you do this for mummy? He's like, absolutely, fucking not. Wow, I need to move on to the next one, which is, would you rather A, your kid take your vibrator to show and tell, or B, your kid announce to the whole class that their mum doesn't like another school mum?
Well, that's hard. Nah, I would say I would prefer for them to take the vibrator,
because a bit of sex positivity.
Be some mums that you can have like a funny conversation.
Imagine them coming to school and telling the class that their mum hated old Kate White over there. How embarrassing would that be?
Oh, I'd be horrible. And you'll be like, oh, no, no, no. Like, I can't believe he said that or she said that.
I actually love you.
But deep down, you'd be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, they hate me.
You don't want drama.
No, it sounds Big Little Lies vibe, like you're going to hate each other. I'd rather the vibrator situation. Surely most people can laugh at that. Next one. Would you rather be told to A, sleep when the baby sleeps, or B, enjoy every single moment every time you walk past an older lady?
Oh, I hate both of those things, but I would prefer to be told to enjoy every single moment because I feel like it's sweet.
Yeah. And like there's merit in that. It annoys us, but one day we'll be those old mums saying the same thing.
Sleep when the baby sleeps, like shut up.
Yeah.
That should be banned.
Those memes that people have made or the reels are so good of like sleeping when the baby's in the pram and you're in the middle of the road and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. Love those memes.
That's it, Lozzie. That is it for the would you rather. So give me a tip because you're just full to the brim of advice.
All right. I actually wrote down a tip, but I'm going to change it. My tip is if you're having a shit day or you're just feeling bleh about yourself, put some fake tan on your face.
Oh, well, you're speaking my language. And I'm not a fake tanner as a general rule, but I love some face tan drops.
Because sometimes all you need is just to have a nice bronzed glow to feel 10% better.
I hate how much better it makes me feel.
I hate. It makes me feel so much better.
What does that say about me? I look in the mirror if I'm tired and have hardly slept and a bit of fake tan on, you'll be right, Del.
I almost want to say I think those tanning drops are such a good present for new mums because –
What does that say, though? Because I feel like we should be getting them food, not being like, here you go, sweetie, you look terrible.
I agree. But it is a cheap, easy, quick alternative just to make you feel better about yourself when you're
does. I'll
so
give you that.
Fucking tired.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't want to do your makeup, you don't do your hair, you just have that mum bum, which is I'm all about. But I'm like sometimes just slapping a couple of drops on your face.
It does make you feel better.
Exponentially increases your mood. Mm.
I would only give it to someone you're extremely close with if you're giving them some food or something like that. Please don't take Loz's advice as gospel to give your colleague some face tan drops when they have a baby.
God, that would be bloody awful. Imagine that. It'd be awkward, wouldn't it?
No, I agree, though, for the right people. I know what you're saying. My tip, I haven't thought of one, but I'm going to.
Go.
My tip is to download our free Try Before You Buy go-to guides online now. So people wanted to sample something before they bought, which I get. The world's expensive. And so we've made a little excerpt out of each. So the Childcare 101, Breastfeeding and Returning to Work, and Postpartum and Return to Work Planning. We've pulled out just little grabs from each, made them free. They're on the website. You can also then get a 10% discount code to the full guides. And you can get that now at readyornot.au.
Great tip. And they are excellent. I know we say it all the time, but they are really, really helpful. Very good. Very well thought out and crafted. Luce and I have obviously crafted them ourselves. So we're super
The amount of DMs as well that I've received in our Instagram lately has been very affirming because you make these things and you think they're good. And then people tell you that they think they're good too. So that's really great that we're actually helping people. Someone today actually said to me, and I'm pulling it up, live on show. Thank you. So much valuable info in this one excerpt alone helped me heaps.
Oh, yay. That makes me, even if we change one person's experience, it's a worthwhile exercise.
Amen.
As always, if you have loved listening to today's episode, please leave us a review. Every review helps. And follow us on readyornot.pod.
Lozzie, we've also entered TikTok land. What is our handle there?
Oh
is
my
the
gosh,
same?
Yes.
We need to use it more. Lol.
Yes, we do at readyornot.podcast. So very similar to our Instagram account. Always open for some hacks, tips, tricks. Mostly I just use it to scroll, if I'm honest. It's it's a big time waste of it. It's so good.
We might be a little bit sillier there. So catch us there for some potentially more rogue content. We'll see how we go.
Yes. See you next week.